Today is Thursday, April 2nd. We're hearing an updated take about COVID-19 from the nation's top doctor and talking about China's potential deception and what you need to know now about a popular heartburn medication pulled from shelves. Plus, a major merger complete, a new TikTok rival is coming, and the late Kobe Bryant is still having an impact. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Note Thursday's bonus interview about internet overload. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, the U.S. recorded its deadliest day since the coronavirus outbreak began. With more than 1,000 new deaths yesterday alone, the pandemic has now killed more than 5,000 Americans. And sadly, that can only be a fraction of what the nation faces in the next few weeks. The White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator, Dr. Deborah Birx, warned again the U.S. is likely to see between 100,000 to 240,000 deaths by mid-June. But U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams told NBC News those numbers don't have to be our reality. He said if we really do our part by staying home and keeping 6 feet away from each other, we can still help flatten the curve. You've probably heard that phrase by now. As a reminder, it's based on a visual chart showing how many people get the virus over time. Instead of a big peak where so many people get COVID-19 all at once, overwhelming our hospitals, flattening the curve means slowing the spread of the virus out over time so healthcare workers can at least manage it and better treat patients. That's why social distancing for at least 30 days could still help save lives, even as some sickness is now inevitable. Dr. Adams said after 30 days, some places might be able to ease up the shelter-in-place guidelines, while some other spots may still have to ramp it up. He also raised concerns that some people are finding some false security in face coverings. It comes as the mayor in Los Angeles urged people to use homemade face coverings when in public. But both the mayor and the Surgeon General reminded everyone, even if you do have a mask or face covering, you should not be touching your face and you should still be social distancing. Also, don't buy up N95 masks, which are already in short supply. Medical professionals need them more. In fact, the Department of Homeland Security says the government's emergency stockpile of medical supplies is now nearly exhausted due to this outbreak. Another concern is a shortage of coronavirus testing kits. And oddly this week, a California company falsely claimed the FDA approved a 2-minute testing kit for COVID-19. Turns out that's not true. The story appeared on AP, Reuters, The New York Times, Axios, and many other news outlets, including here on The Newsworthy. President Trump's campaign manager also shared the news on Twitter. But yesterday, the FDA said it didn't actually authorize the test. And even though companies can release them, the FDA is not approving any blood tests for coronavirus detection right now. Approved supplies, though, did just arrive from overseas. Russia sent a cargo plane full of medical supplies to the U.S., and that was a bit of a surprise since Russia is seeing its own uptick in cases. Still, President Trump reached an agreement with Russian President Vladimir Putin. An unnamed Washington official told Reuters the shipment carried 60 tons of ventilators, masks, respirators, and other medical equipment. At the same time, the White House decided to pause certain contributions to other countries. It's now reviewing all aid shipments to make sure the U.S. is not shipping out medical supplies that are needed here right now. A new report from the United Nations found the global economy could shrink by almost 1% this year due to the new coronavirus. That's a big change from before the pandemic, when the forecast was to see 2.5% growth. And it was another rough day for Wall Street yesterday. Stocks closed 4% lower in a bad start for the new quarter. The next number people are waiting for will come out today. The U.S. Labor Department will release its weekly jobless report. Remember, 3.3 million unemployment claims were reported last week, the largest single week increase in U.S. history. And this week's number is expected to be even higher. But even as many people are laid off, there are a few businesses actually making more money during this time of crisis. And it seems gun stores are among them. President Trump this week did deem gun shops as essential businesses, so they're allowed to stay open. And now FBI figures show 3.7 million gun background checks were done in March. That's the most for a single month since the system began in 1998. A psychologist told Axios it's typical to see an increase in gun sales during times of social uncertainty. It appears China underreported the number of total COVID-19 cases and deaths in the country. Many people have suspected this, but now Bloomberg News cited three U.S. intelligence officers who said they found the Chinese public record was incomplete and intentionally deceptive. The report also says China changed the way it counted cases several times. Remember, the virus originated in Wuhan, China, late last year. Now, Dr. Deborah Birx, who has been advising the White House on COVID-19, said this week China's numbers influenced assumptions in other countries. And now that we can see how the virus spread in Italy and Spain, it's become clear China had some inconsistencies. Tensions could be ramping back up between the U.S. and Iran. President Trump tweeted that Iran or an Iran-backed militia was planning a, quote, sneak attack on American troops or assets in Iraq. He didn't cite any specific evidence at this point, but he did threaten Iran, saying it would pay a heavy price if an attack was carried out. The New York Times reports senior Democrats already responded to this. They cautioned Trump against taking military action overseas without consulting Congress first. Remember, he did not get the green light from Congress back in January when a U.S. drone strike killed a top Iranian commander. It's official now. T-Mobile owns Sprint. The merger is now finally complete. This is a big deal. It combines the third and fourth largest U.S. wireless carriers, creating a bigger third-place competitor to AT&T and Verizon. The deal is valued at more than $30 billion, but it took years to finalize because there was a lot of pushback from state and federal regulators. ABC News reports critics argued it would reduce competition and drive up prices for consumers, but the company has said it would give the network a boost and allow them to drive down prices. In fact, T-Mobile made a bunch of promises to regulators. It vows not to raise prices for at least 3 years. It agreed to sell Sprint's prepaid businesses like Boost Mobile. It says its 5G network will reach 99% of the population within 6 years, and it will give free internet access to 10 million low-income households. All right, we have more news ahead, including some more of the positive stuff. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our new sponsor, Care.com. In this time of need, Care.com wants you to know they're here to help. For example, if you want to make sure your aging loved ones are getting help to go to the store and buy necessities, Care.com has trusted, reliable, and affordable options. In fact, it's a platform for all kinds of family care services, from childcare and even online classes, to housekeepers, to errand runners, to pet care, and more. And it has all the tools and information to help guide you through that hiring process, including reviews and background checks. I was impressed with how many options came up right near my home when I put in my zip code, and I was excited to have them as a sponsor because I had already heard great things from my friends with kids who have used and loved Care.com to find their nannies. And right now, you can get a special offer. Save 30% off a premium membership when you go to care.com/newsworthy or use the promo code newsworthy. Again, save 30% off a premium membership when you go to care.com/newsworthy or use the promo code newsworthy. Now, back to the news. The FDA says a popular heartburn drug needs to be pulled off shelves immediately. It found Zantac and generic versions of it contain a chemical known as NDMA. When the drug was first tested, the amount of that chemical did not exceed the FDA's standard. But the issue is, if the medicine is stored in a warm place, the NDMA can increase over time to a level that's linked to cancer. Remember, we told you last year both CVS and Walgreens pulled Zantac off their shelves as the FDA was investigating this issue. Now the FDA has formally asked for it to be taken out of circulation everywhere and simply not used. The FDA now instead recommends other heartburn medications if you need them. Ones without any NDMA include Pepcid, Prilosec, and Nexium. YouTube is apparently planning to reveal a rival to the popular video sharing app TikTok. The tech news outlet The Information cites two sources saying Google-owned YouTube will launch their version by the end of this year. And as of now, it'll be called Shorts. Users will apparently be able to share short videos using a catalog of music within the new app. It'll have a built-in audience right away because Shorts will be available right inside YouTube's app. The Information calls it the most serious effort yet by any big tech company to go head-to-head with the Chinese-owned social media app TikTok, which is especially popular among teenagers. Country music icon Dolly Parton will be using YouTube and Facebook to help entertain your cooped-up kids. The Grammy winner is going to start virtually reading bedtime stories to children in a series called Goodnight with Dolly. You can watch the stream for free every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern for the next 10 weeks, starting tonight. Families are also getting some much-needed entertainment from J.K. Rowling. The author of the Harry Potter book series just launched an online initiative called HarryPotterAtHome.com. It features quizzes, games, and other activities. And for the month of April, Rowling also partnered with Audible and Overdrive to publish free digital editions of the first Harry Potter book. And speaking of reading, the newest installment of Kobe Bryant's book series is now out. It's called The Wizenard Series Season 1. Bryant worked on it before he died in January. He had collaborated with the author Wesley King, who told People magazine last month that Kobe Bryant wanted to create a young adult book series to inspire people to overcome obstacles. The newest book is about a basketball player hoping to become the best, but the gym he trains at is, quote, working against him in magical ways. Rolling Stone reports it's already a hit, immediately becoming number one on the Amazon bestsellers chart. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. And this week, we're talking about the impact of the stay-at-home orders on the internet. Comcast reported, for example, that the number of voice and video calls recently has more than tripled on its network. So is it causing internet overload? Our guest today is the CEO and co-founder of Ookla, which is the company behind the popular sites Speed Test, which tracks network speeds, as well as Down Detector, which offers real-time status and outage information. So Doug Suttles is here to explain why this is an issue, which areas may have more problems than others, and more. Here's our conversation. Hi, Doug. Thanks so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
My pleasure.
So first, help people understand how and why internet overload can actually happen. Is there an analogy or something you can provide to help explain why there's a possible impact from so many people staying home right now?
See, the analogy I like to use for this is it's in the plumbing world. You know, this can apply to your home or to your internet provider, both the same. But imagine the main water line coming into your home. And then think about one faucet and pretend that faucet is a computer or some other device using the internet. You turn it on all the way and you know, you'll have a stream of some amount coming out. Now, if you go turn on faucets in other rooms, you'll notice all of those streams get a little smaller. You know, there's less water coming through. And the reason for that is the limit of what's coming into your home, you know, it has to be split amongst all these things. So within your home, you have the same issue with internet. Lots of devices, more people watching video, using video conferencing, it'll all add up. Your ISP has the same problem where there's only so much capacity to the internet itself. And the more homes doing this at the same time, you'll run into the same issue. Sooner or later, capacity can be reached.
And why are homes different than workplaces?
They're not different. It's more the behavior of all of the usage is shifting to the homes right now. So in a shelter in home or, you know, lockdown type scenario, you'll have just far more usage and during the daytime. It's the shift to one place that's built their capacity for, you know, the peaks in the evenings. And all of a sudden, everyone's using their home broadband all the time for everything.
Right, because instead of having in-person meetings, they're actually having to connect on video, virtual video.
Precisely, adding to that usage.
So let's talk about your data. How do you collect it, and what is it showing right now about the impact of the internet, both globally and here in the U.S.?
Speed Test is it's a utility for consumers. It tells you perhaps if you have a problem with your connection right now, are you getting what you pay for? Or you just want to show off, you know, the capabilities of your internet connection. Millions and millions of people use this every day. That go button is pressed, you know, 10 to 20 million times a day. Right now, it's being pressed far more than ever before. We're seeing a 60 to 70% increase in usage. And all of that data flows into us for us to analyze and look at the performance of broadband networks around the globe. What we're seeing now, that uptick in usage in pockets, especially, you know, you have to look at this geographically, because if you look at it in aggregate, at, you know, countrywide, it doesn't look as bad as it does in select areas. Neighborhoods that are predominantly family residential, I think we'll see more of a problem as a result of this than urban cores. So like if you live in a downtown area that most people commute into, in a way, I think that those areas are seeing relief, because everyone's not coming into there at the same time. So internet usage there will be as good, if not better than ever. But we've seen neighborhoods with a 25% degradation in performance. So the speed at which you can download has dropped by 25%. And that equates to a lot of things. You know, just video may have problems. You know, the quality of your internet experience will be degraded because of it.
Why does video usually make a bigger difference? Even people talking on things like Zoom, why does that matter more than just sending an email?
Video is certainly the biggest amount of usage on the internet, and it requires the most bandwidth. Then, you know, the most of that water coming into your water pipe. It's just a high bandwidth application. Not only are you getting a collective video stream sent to you in real time, you're actually sending a video stream at the same time. So I think that the huge uptick in video conferencing at home is one of the biggest culprits for performance degradation right now.
Is there a possible impact or even consequence to some systems that we rely on beyond just people being able to watch Netflix, such as healthcare and that sort of thing?
You know, in pockets, in geographic pockets, I could see an impact. But an important thing to note is that the internet core, like the actual backbone of what data travels around on the internet, I don't see that being an issue at all through all of this. You know, I just see what we're dealing with is patterns of, you know, and behaviors like people are at home using the internet versus at work. But people use the internet all the time. The backbone of it can handle a lot. This is really a saturation of home broadband issue that we're dealing with the most right now.
Okay, so how might the next generation wireless network, 5G, impact any of these issues we're talking about now, and or is it already?
I think it is some. You know, the reality is even the latest generation of LTE networks, 4G networks, are fast enough and capable enough to be used for your home broadband. You know, you can tether your computer to your phone and use it as your internet connection. That can absolutely be done on 4G. It'll be done even better on 5G. And right now, I'd say to folks, if they have trouble with their home broadband right now due to this overload, try your phone. Try tethering to your phone and see if that works well. And just be mindful of your data plan if you have one. That's one of the caveats here is the caps of data usage are usually lower on mobile than they would be on home broadband.
Is there any particular country that's doing the best versus the worst in this situation?
That's a difficult question since it depends on whether or not the country is in full lockdown. The U.S. isn't bad. It looks similar to a lot of places. It's been interesting looking at China that is on the rebound and, you know, had its degradation of performance and its comeback. But there's also a difference between countries that don't rely on home broadband much. They're pretty much mobile only. India is a great example of this, where most usage is mobile. And so right now, having an entire country locked down, mobile is getting hit hard.
Is there any final takeaway or any final thoughts about the impact of this pandemic on the internet?
One final thought is that it's services that may be impacted even more than the internet connectivity itself. So things like Zoom and Google services for Hangouts and whatnot, they're getting used more than ever. And those can be taxed just the same. And so you'll see outages with those services as opposed to actual internet outages with your connectivity. It's important to differentiate between the two. That's why we have our other service down detector. And that's where we monitor the outages while speed test is used to monitor performance.
Right. So it might be a specific problem with Zoom or another platform like that versus your internet connection overall.
Precisely.
And you can learn more about our guest today and see links to both speedtest.net and Downdetector in today's show notes. That's also where you can read more about all of the news stories mentioned. Just look in today's description in your podcast app or go to thenewsworthy.com/show notes. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to subscribe or follow right in your podcast app to make sure you're getting new episodes each day for free. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 a.m. every weekday. We'll be back with more news tomorrow. Have a great day.